everyone, and welcome. I'm Kyle Copey. I'm the new director of catechesis here at St. Dominic's Media. The man you know and love, the founder of St. Dominic's Media, Mr. David L. Gray, has brought on people like me, people like Bobby Hesley, who will be heading up our apologetics wing. And we're also doing a new show together you may have seen before. We've done a couple episodes already. It's called The Final Word. It'll air at least bi-monthly, and we'll be talking about all things faith and culture and giving you our final word on the matter. But this is a new show. This is my solo show. You know and love David L. Gray's Off Code and Unscripted. And this is my show. Welcome to Even Keel. Even Keel, a show where we try to give a level-headed perspective of what's going on, just like the keel of a ship keeps it afloat and stable amid the storms. We're trying to keep, especially faithful Catholics, on that bark of Peter, the new ark mirroring Noah's ark of the Old Testament, where you join it, you become part of God's chosen people, and you weather the storm. And that's what the church has always done throughout the centuries. And we have, unfortunately, people jumping off the ship left and right, and we're just trying to keep you on course, on deck, and safe and faithful. So welcome to Even Keel. This is our first installment, our first episode, and as always, there is always so much going on in the church, in the culture, in politics, in religion. There's way too much to get to, way too much to talk about. So I've just selected a few things that I want to comment on recently within the past month or so. And there will be more to come. So first up, we have, just within the past few weeks or so, our Catholic president, and yes, he is Catholic, although not a great one, Joseph R. Biden, the second Catholic president in American history. The first one, you know him well, JFK, had some problems with the faith, admittedly, and so does the second Catholic president of the United States. So, incident recently, Biden's sacrilegious sign. We're talking here about the sign of the cross. So what happened? Because I first saw this headline and I was kind of confused. I heard Biden sacrilegiously made the sign of the cross. And I'm like, well, how do you do that? How does one make the sign of the cross sacrilegiously? And I come to find out that he did this at an abortion rally. Okay, great. So yeah, we're having abortion rallies now, where a bunch of people coming together and getting all fired up about child murder, child sacrifice, whatever you want to call it. It is murder. It's the taking of an innocent human life at the very early stages of its existence. And now we have people rallying for it and celebrating it. And as many of you know, our Catholic president supports this. Okay, so what did Biden do? Why would he make the sign of the cross at an abortion rally? Was this supposed to be a religious event? I didn't know what was going on. So I looked a little bit more into it, and this occurred in Florida several weeks ago. So I want to show this to you, because I had to go look at this. I'm like, well, why? Were they doing a prayer or something? Why was he making the sign of a cross at an abortion rally? And why would they be praying or doing anything religious at an abortion rally, although it is the sacrament of the left? So let's see what actually happened. So Biden is on stage, and he is with the Democratic chairwoman in Florida, and this is Nikki Freed, the Democratic Party chairwoman over there in Florida. She's talking, she makes a joke, and Biden, in a bizarre fashion, does the sign of the cross. Check this out.
And then we come back here to the state of Florida, where Ron DeSantis felt like he needed to run for president, and so 15 weeks wasn't good enough. We had to go to 6 weeks.
So weird. I mean, just the creepy look on his face as he's doing it. I mean, at first glance, I would chalk this up to just senility and an old man thinking that he needs to do something to show that he doesn't approve of something. I mean, people do this all the time, unfortunately, with the sign of the cross. You know, they make it because they're, you know, about to go, and you know they're using it kind of as a good luck charm because they're going to do something dangerous, and maybe they're doing a real prayer, I don't know, but it's like kind of a token good luck charm, rabbit's foot type of thing for many people, the sign of the cross. And you know, they use it to show disapproval of something. I think of, like, you know, old grandmothers or something, and they hear something scandalous and they make the sign of the cross. They're not really praying. They're just kind of, again, expressing their disapproval for something. So that's, I think, his mentality. You know, we talked about the oxymoron of President Biden's mentality, but I think that's kind of his old man mentality of he's just using the sign of the cross to show disapproval. But it goes beyond that, because what was Chairwoman Nikki Fried actually doing here? She was making fun of Ron DeSantis for wanting a stricter limit on when you could abort in his state. So he had it, whatever it was, 15 weeks down to 6 weeks, I think it was. She mentioned it in the video. So DeSantis, rightly so, made it stricter. I mean, obviously, we want to push for a total ban on abortion. I agree with my friend Christine Harrington here, but many Republican conservative politicians want to play that incremental game, right? Of saying, okay, well, let's see how far we can get these limits. Let's go down to a 6 week limit. Let's go down to the heartbeat bill, because that's usually around detectable around 6 weeks there. And so many states have done that. Many people have pushed for this legislation. You know, we can debate the merits of that incremental approach elsewhere. So Fried is basically making fun of DeSantis for wanting stronger restrictions on abortion. Okay, so that's a good thing. Oh, it wasn't good enough for DeSantis. So he wants, you know, us to kill babies in a smaller amount of time. Oh, yeah, that's very bad, Ms. Fried. Very bad. It's like saying, oh, you know, I only made $2 million this year, and next year I want to make $3 million. You know, it's a positive thing what DeSantis was doing. He was restricting, again, at an incremental level, the abortions down to 6 weeks from 15 weeks. Fried is making fun of DeSantis for doing that. Biden is joining in on that because he also disapproves of what DeSantis is doing. He wants there to be, he even wants no holds barred on abortion. Basically, it's a woman's right to choose all the way up until the time of birth, is what I'm assuming Biden still thinks about abortion. And he decides to employ the sign of the cross to show his disapproval. Many people have seen this as an act of sacrilege. So, quick definition of sacrilege is basically using a holy gesture or a holy object or something like that for an immoral purpose. And, you know, I wouldn't have guessed this at first, but many smart people, many good holy people have made the connection between this gesture being used in this way and having Biden pretty much be guilty of sacrilege by doing so. Most notably, you had Bishop Thomas Perpraki of the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois, calling Biden out for doing this. He released a 5-minute video on it. He did a couple other interviews subsequent to that explaining his position on it. But he stood firm in claiming that Biden was committing sacrilege here by using the sign of a cross to express disapproval at someone who was trying to restrict abortions. So what did Bishop Thomas Perpraki have to say?
Making the sign of the cross as one of the most profound gestures a Catholic can make in showing reverence for Christ's death on the cross and belief in the Holy Trinity as we sign ourselves in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. To misuse this sacred gesture is to make a mockery of our Catholic faith.
Okay. To misuse this sacred gesture is to make a mockery of the Catholic faith. Bishop Thomas Perpraki is right on there. Perpraki also went on to say in a subsequent interview about this subject matter that he thought Biden was doing this to promote something evil. And that's what makes this a sacrilege. And that is hitting the nail on the head. Biden was using the sign of the cross to basically promote abortion. So after all of that research and getting the context of this, why in the world Biden would choose the sign of the cross to show his disapproval at someone who is advocating for abortion restrictions boggles the mind, but he did it. It's public. It is out there. It's on video and will be forever. Thomas Perpocky, Bishop, that was, you know, great that he said that. He, you know, got a lot of attention for it, but he probably wasn't the first bishop to speak out against this. From what I understand, the first bishop to do so was Spanish Bishop Jose Ignacio Munilla. I forget his diocese, but he was the first one to call this sacrilegious. So shout out to Bishop Munilla as well. And again, this is our president. This is our president who claims to be Catholic and who makes the sign of the cross, I hope, when he's going to Mass on Sundays, if he goes to Mass on Sundays. I remember, within the past year, one of his aides or one of his press secretaries said something to the effect of, oh yeah, Mr. Biden considers himself a Catholic in good standing, a faithful Catholic. He goes to Mass most Sundays. And those were her words. He goes to Mass most Sundays. Well, I mean, just by that example right there, by definition, he's not a Catholic in good standing. If there are some Sundays where he's purposely not going to Mass and he legitimately could get to Mass, then he is violating one of the basic precepts of the church, is to go to Mass on Sundays, all Sundays, and holy days of obligation. And it's not good enough to make it there most Sundays, Mr. Biden. But again, this is our second Catholic president of the United States. We don't have a good track record of good, faithful Catholics within the presidency of the United States. So we have Bishop Munilla, we have Bishop Perpocky joining other voices in speaking out against Biden. If we recall, just, what was it, a few months ago, Biden's own bishop, the Cardinal Archbishop of Washington, D.C., Wilton Gregory, who, you know, has received a lot of criticism over the years from faithful Catholics for various things. We don't have to get into all of that. But Wilton Gregory, remember this, a few months ago, called Biden a cafeteria Catholic. And if you don't know what a cafeteria Catholic is, basically it's you pick and choose what you want from the faith, and you get to claim to be still Catholic while rejecting definitive truth that has been revealed by God through the Holy Catholic Church. And we know Biden does this. Biden, on several issues, most notably the pro-life issue, but there's other stuff as well, Biden rejects definitive doctrine that life begins at conception and that the unjustified taking of human life, even at the very small stage, whether it's a zygote or an embryo within the womb, is murder. Biden rejects that. He gives various reasons and he's flip-flopped over the years and whatever, but it's been the same kind of course as to where now he thinks that it's fine to kill a child in the womb. And that's his position, and he claims to be still Catholic. Now, some people unjustly label Biden as an apostate, but that's not accurate. That's actually not true. An apostate technically is someone who has totally repudiated the Catholic faith. He has given up the Catholic faith and gone to something else. He's becoming atheist. He's becoming Buddhist or whatever. To my knowledge, President Biden has not done that. He still claims to be Catholic. So he's not an apostate, but he is a dissenting Catholic. He dissents from the doctrine of the church in various areas. You could call him, he's not technically a heretic either, although in the general sense of the term, I guess he is a heretic because he's going against definitively revealed truth. Technically, you have to be a material heretic, to commit a heresy, you have to deny specifically a dogma, which is the highest level of teaching. To my knowledge, Biden has not denied any dogmas that I'm aware of. Maybe you are. Leave that in the comments if you know about something. But he has, just almost just as egregiously, defied definitive doctrine you know, the second step down in those level of teachings, which does make him heterodox, I would say. What is the solution here? I don't know. Wilton Gregory, who, to my knowledge, is Biden's bishop, if we're talking about Washington, D.C. here. Wilton Gregory, I mean, I would call on him to take the next step and go for excommunication. It's a long shot. It is a long shot. We saw, who was it? Bishop Cordeleone out in California come very close to, you know, speaking some very harsh words against Nancy Pelosi. I don't think he actually excommunicated her. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but he did speak out against Nancy Pelosi quite publicly, and he got a lot of flack for that. I think it's time for Wilton Gregory to take it a step further and consider this excommunication for the president of the United States, because it's just egregious at this point. And excommunication, remember, is not so much of a punishment, although it is. It is meant to bring one back into full communion with the Catholic Church. Excommunication is an act of, I would say, extreme mercy. It's meant to bring those who left the Catholic Church, or at least I should say, because that would be a schismatic or an apostate, it's meant to bring those who dissent from the church's teachings back into full acceptance of the church's teachings, and certainly President Biden needs that. So can't we just excommunicate the guy already? I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to leave that up to the pastoral judgment of Cardinal Wilton Gregory. But I think lastly, and I think most importantly here, this is what even good faithful Catholics are going to forget, is that we do need to pray for our president. I was just talking with this about something or with someone the other day. During the intercessory prayers at Mass, in the new Mass, have you heard, let us pray for specifically the president of our country? Maybe you have, maybe some parishes are doing it, but I rarely hear that. This is not a political issue. This is praying for a man who happens to be in politics and in charge of the leadership of our country. Why should we not be praying for this especially a Catholic president? Someone who claims to be Catholic, but is obviously living a life contrary to the Catholic faith in many regards. Why aren't we praying for Joe Biden at the Mass? Why aren't faithful Catholics praying for our Catholic president every night? So I encourage all of you, as much as it will irk you and probably annoy you to even have to think about President Biden, especially if you're a conservative, pray for him. Pray for him. And I'm talking to myself here. How often do I pray for the president? Not enough. Not enough. At the end of the day, he is a soul. Yes, he's causing public scandal. Yes, he says ridiculous things because of probably some mental decline. Yes, he's done some terrible things for this country. But he still deserves our prayers. So that's where I'll kind of end it on that one. Okay, let's shift over to a bit of promotion here, a bit of advertisement for our own channel, St. Dominic's Media. Maybe you are a member already. Maybe you've subscribed on YouTube. That's great. But do consider becoming some level of membership at St. Dominic's Media. We have three levels of membership to tell you about. This is a fairly new thing. So yeah, please do subscribe on YouTube, like the video, share it. That's all great. But do head on over to stdominicsmedia.com. And let me share my screen so I can show you this. All right, stdominicsmedia.com. That's Dominic's with an S. There's another one out there I discovered, St. Dominic. Not plural, stdominicmedia.com. Don't go to that one. I don't know who those guys are, but you know, they're probably heretics. I'm just kidding. They're probably doing great work. But we are stdominicsmedia.com. Head on over there because we have something fairly new. If you go to our homepage, go all the way over on the tabs to the right there. Let's get President Joseph R. Biden off the screen. There we go. Go all the way over to the membership tab. There's our membership levels here. You click on that and scroll down. You can see we have three different levels here. At least become a free member. My goodness, all you need to do is register with an email address and you get access to all exclusive content, just providing your email address. You get updates regularly for our email, our sort of our newsletter type thing. And you get all of our free Catholic theology courses. And me being the new director of catechesis here at St. Dominic's Media, I will be in charge of teaching and also offering some new courses from some other instructors. So in the next year or so, we plan to roll those out. There'll be some free courses. There'll be some pay courses, all on stdominicsmedia.com, all good Catholic theology, philosophy, church history. We plan on offering a lot of content in terms of courses, and you can earn a certificate after that. And I will be in charge of that, so stay tuned. We'll keep you posted on that. So at least become a free member. Go to our website, enter your email, and you'll get access to all of our free theology courses and all of our free ebooks as well. And you'll get notified every time we put out new videos. The next level up, become an exclusive member. You get access to, again, all the content that the free content, the people who signed up for the free account do. And you get specific select additional Catholic theology courses and ebooks. And for a limited time only, anyone who becomes an exclusive member will receive one free book of their choice from the St. Dominic's Media collection, and you can select one when you check out. All right, and here's the big daddy. It's called the Lifetime Hound of Heaven membership. I love that name, reminiscent of St. Dominic himself, the Hound of Heaven. And you get exclusive access to all of our content, all of our Catholic theology courses, including the ebook version of every single title, every single book that St. Dominic's Media has ever published. And you will be mailed a paperback copy of every book that is to be published under St. Dominic's Media. So great benefits for that one. I highly encourage you to sign up for the lifetime membership. If you're wondering about the prices on these things, I should have mentioned these. The free registration is obviously free. The exclusive membership is $10, it looks like, for an introduction, and just $5 a month thereafter. And then the lifetime membership is a one-time fee of $360, the low price, one-time fee of $360. Sign up for at least something today, but we do encourage you to hit that lifetime membership and become a Hound of Heaven. Okay, back to the show. Next up, we have Mr. Jordan Peterson, everyone's favorite man who struggles with God, I would say. Jordan Peterson should be named Israel Peterson. Israel meaning he who struggles with God, or contends or wrestles with God. This has been Jordan Peterson's journey for the past, oh my goodness, 7 years or so, ever since I've kind of become aware of him. Everyone always wants to ask him, do you believe in God? Or are you going to become Catholic? And it seems like he's getting kind of annoyed with that at that point. And he just dodges the question at every turn. I'm going to do a future show reviewing his appearance on Pints with Aquinas with Matt Frad. If you haven't seen that episode, I would encourage you to go check it out. It was kind of frustrating to watch, but I'll do an analysis of that later. This, however, was on Peterson's own podcast, and he was talking to a man, I guess a former gaming streamer by the name of Destiny, who we've become aware of, at least I've become aware of in the past couple of years. I think the man has been streaming since 2015 or something like that, and played some game that I've never heard of before, but then again, I don't really play video games. So Destiny, who's kind of made a name for himself, talking to a lot of Catholic figures. I think he's debated Lila Rose on that Whatever podcast Same thing with Trent Horn. He, not only Catholics, but other conservatives like Peterson and Ben Shapiro. So Destiny's kind of been making his rounds, debating a lot of Christians and conservative folks. You know, he seems to be a decently intelligent enough guy, a guy who kind of talks pretty fast, seems kind of, you know, nerdy. You know, he seems to be somewhat well-read. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit here. It just seems to be, you know, kind of quick on his toes about a lot of stuff. So I mean, I'm not overly impressed with the man. I am, however, you know, for all of his faults, I am impressed with Jordan Peterson. He seems like a very deep thinker, but at the same time, he's sort of stuck in this rut of not wanting to embrace a personal God. But we can talk about that more later. So Destiny, who's an interesting figure, he doesn't claim to be on the left. He says he was pretty much on, you know, sort of the George Bush, Reagan style Republican on the right when he was growing up until he was, you know, a teenager or a young adult. And then he kind of became, you know, so-called more progressive or liberal or whatever you want to call it. But he doesn't consider himself a leftist, which is interesting. He considers himself a proponent of capitalism or the free market economy, rather. And so he's kind of an interesting figure. And he appeared on Jordan Peterson's personal podcast. I haven't listened to the whole thing, but I did catch a clip of something that was apropos to my field of expertise, which is the Catholic Church. Destiny brought up the Catholic Church in the context of big government. So Peterson sort of goes off on the leftist proclivity towards gigantism. And it's really just this notion of when things get too big, they tend to fail. And this, I think, is true of any human institution, especially government. And when governments get too big, they try to control too much and try to centrally plan everything. And then things go awry. This is one of the reasons why communism and Marxism just doesn't work, is because the government is too controlling. I mean, there's a lot of other reasons why those things don't work and are evil, and why the Catholic Church has consistently rejected them. But that's sort of where Peterson is going here, is this gigantism, what he calls gigantism, especially in government, and the leftist proclivity to latch on to this gigantism as the solution that will create sort of this human utopia. It's going to get everyone everything they need and where they need to be. And Destiny's sort of he seems to be a proponent of that. He thinks that government can solve a lot of problems and all this stuff. He raises the issue of the Catholic Church being part of this gigantism effect. And so this is quite interesting. I want to see what he says here. And then Peterson just kind of shuts him down on it.
When it comes to you mentioned this like gigantism thing. That's another thing where I'm not sure if people actually care about gigantism or if they're using it as a proxy for other things that they don't like. Like, I could totally imagine a
person. I care about it.
Sure. Yeah, you might. Yeah, sorry. Because like I could imagine somebody saying that like they don't trust like a large government, they think there's too much you know, prone to tyranny or something like that, but also be supportive of an institution like the Catholic Church, which is literally, you know, one guy who is a direct line to God.
They can't tax.
And
they don't have a military.
That is,
and they can't conscript you.
True. Right? Yeah.
And they can't throw you in jail.
That is true. Yeah. I mean,
right. Well, those are major and significant. I mean, I get the overlap. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
Okay, so he just totally gets shut down by Peterson. Someone in the comments section on the video said, like, oh, this is like a child talking to their parent, and I kind of got that vibe from it. But Destiny's like, oh, yeah, he's like, the Catholic Church is huge, and he's like, we see a lot of conservatives, you know, flocking towards the Catholic Church, but they're sort of like a big government as well, so that kind of confuses me. And Peterson's like, well, no, they're not. They can't do much. It's like the old saying in the church, you know, what do we have? Well, we have the bodies of our martyrs. You know, where are our riches and our gold? Well, we have the poor. That's who we boast about. Those who are going to inherit the kingdom of God, as Jesus said in the Beatitudes there. Anyways, so he totally gets shut down. Peterson says, no, the Catholic Church doesn't have an army. They can't conscript you. They can't. I mean, for the most part, I think there is a Vatican jail, but they don't arrest people and throw them in jail on a regular basis. They're not out there fighting wars. They're not, doing all these other things that we see governments doing, getting their hands in things that getting its hands, the church does, in things that it doesn't belong in. No, the Catholic Church is a spiritual entity trying to bring about the kingdom of God on earth. Yes, it should be, and it can be, working with governments to uphold the moral order. And we saw that especially in church history, where we saw the state and the church more closely aligned, in what was so-called Christendom in the Middle Ages and things like that. And there were some pros and cons to that. I think people would prefer that, over what we're seeing now, this total odd, bizarre separation of church and state. But anyways, Peterson says, no, the Catholic Church is not a victim or a proponent, rather, of this gigantism that you're talking about. But if you caught it there, Destiny says something kind of odd and just flat out wrong. Peterson kind of cuts him off, but he's like, oh yeah, Destiny says, you have this, it's weird that conservatives would be Catholic because there's this one guy in charge who has a direct line to God. That's what he was saying, referring to the Pope, which is just a total mischaracterization of what Catholics believe about the Pope. The Pope does not have a direct line to God. So the Pope, I mean, this gets into the whole charism of the papal office and infallibility and other certain protections provided to the holder of the papal office by the Holy Spirit when he's teaching officially on faith or morals through his magisterium. Destiny, who I think was raised Catholic, by the way, definitely doesn't understand those distinctions. So no, the Pope does not have a direct line to God. It's not like whatever the Pope prays for comes true because they have a direct line to God, or that God directly sends things to the Pope and then the Pope, just broadcasts it out towards the world. That's what a line like that would lead you to believe, saying that the Pope has a direct line to God. No, the Holy Spirit protects the Pope when he's speaking, when he's defining a dogma, which is very rare in church history. He also has a special protection when he's teaching magisterially, even when he's teaching in a non-definitive way. The Holy Spirit still protects those from those statements and writings from egregious error. But that is all lost on Destiny. The Pope does not have a direct line to God. All right, next up. This is at least a few weeks old. And, I apologize. I get to things later. I don't care. We celebrated Pentecost recently, but even before that, the last major feast day before that was the Ascension. And I get tricked every year by this feast day because traditionally we're supposed to have it as what? Ascension Thursday, right? And the Ascension every year is a holy day of obligation. But for those of us living in the United States, I can't speak for other countries, I don't know. But in the United States, in most dioceses, the Ascension gets moved from traditionally Ascension Thursday to what they call Ascension Sunday. So a few days forward, so that people can make the holy day of obligation. And most of the dioceses and regions in the United States have done this. There are only a handful of regions and dioceses that have kept Ascension Thursday a holy day of obligation. I get tricked every year. I don't know about you. I show up at Mass and no one's there on Thursday. Partially, this is due to the priestly fraternity of St. Peter. Or I'm sorry, wrong religious order. The Institute of Christ the King. I often attend an ICKSP parish here in the Metro Detroit area. Shout out to St. Joseph Shrine. I am a member there, so one of the places I go to Mass. The priest there was talking about how this was just a holy day of obligation, and that's fine. They're following the traditional calendar, and it would be there. But they're technically in the Archdiocese of Detroit, so you can show up there for Mass, but no other parish in the diocese was offering Ascension Thursday, Holy Day of Obligation masses. Again, you're not bound to do that. I guess it's a little weird when you're going to the traditional rite, and which I don't always go to. And, you know, your pastor says, well, it is in the traditional rite, but then how does that translate to you who live in this diocese where it's technically not a Holy Day of Obligation? I don't know. You can go to mass, but you're not required to on that day if you live in one of those dioceses. There are several dioceses, like I said, that have retained this practice. Thanks be to God. A lot on the East Coast, I think. So you just kind of have to look that up if you're in one of those dioceses on Ascension Thursday. But I get tricked every year and I show up with my family and there's no mass. Okay. I just had to gripe about that until next year when I get tricked again. It's in my phone as a Holy Day of Obligation. I think I need to change that. All right. I don't know if I mentioned it, but we do have a lot of new shows here. Even Keel would be one of them here at St. Dominic's Media. We also have a roundtable, three-panel discussion called The Final Word, and that is with myself, Bobby Hesley, and of course, David L. Gray. We do a bi-monthly show where we talk about, again, all things faith and culture from a balanced perspective, kind of just like Even Keel. And we give our final words on that. Last time, we talked about, we do have a show tomorrow. So tune in tomorrow and we'll be talking about a woman who thinks she's a man, who's a hermit and got approved by her diocese. So, a trans hermit. Yeah. Stay tuned for that one. We're talking about that tomorrow. But our most recent episode in the past, we actually had a guest interview. And it was a Nigerian missionary priest by the name of Father Leo Ahanotu. Father Ahanotu from Nigeria, who's been in this country for several years as a missionary priest. Yeah, America is a missionary country, people, because we have a crisis of, first of all, faith, and that leads to a crisis of vocations. And so we have to import priests from other countries. I'm not saying that is a bad thing. But there are a lot of pitfalls to that, as Father Leo pointed out. There's such a cultural divide. Imagine you grew up in Nigeria, you grew up in India, and now you're transported to the United States. You're transported to westernized culture and westernized people and different ways of speech and different food, etc. And you have to adapt to that. And Father Leo has been studying this for years. And he bases this off of his own experience coming to this country as a young man. He came here even before he was a priest to attend university. And he's created a program, a training program for Nigerian priests to be trained up in the ways of whatever country they're going into in the Western world to be better effective ministers and to better melt into the culture in which they are put in. So it's a great study that he's undertaken about priests who immigrate, who are missionaries, who get sent from other countries, non-Western countries, into the West to minister to us poor Americans who have no faith. And a lot of these Indian priests and African priests, and at least years ago, used to be Polish. A lot of Polish priests used to come over as well. I think that has dwindled a bit. But they come over here and show us what the faith truly is. I mean, the faith is on fire in Africa. But there's a little bit of a caveat to that. Father Leo says, as much as the West imports its immorality and its ways of thinking into developing countries, the more secularized they become, the less children they have, and they might end up being like us in the West, with dwindling birth rates and less stay-at-home mothers and less fathers leading the home in the practice of the faith. And that could happen. That's the danger that could happen to these developing countries if they keep adopting these Western immoral ideologies and practices. I mean, even Pope Francis talks about the whole transgender ideology and movement as ideological colonization. And the West does that. We export abortion to other countries. We export you know, the acceptance of same-sex attractions and lifestyles to other countries, and just a general secular mindset we export to other countries. And Father Leo kind of picked up on that. So I would encourage you to go check out that interview. Father Leo is a Holy Ghost father, as we used to call it. I think they call them the Spiritans now, but come on, call them the Holy Ghost fathers. That's awesome. So he is a Holy Ghost father. The Holy Ghost fathers, at least for the past, you know, 100 years, you know, you're thinking all the way back to the time when the infamous Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre, before he was an archbishop, he was a Holy Ghost father. I think he was the director of the Holy Ghost fathers at one point, the director general, and he was a missionary in Africa. And a lot of these more traditional orders do that. And that's why Africa, one of the reasons why they're, you know, you could say they're traditional, but they're definitely on fire with the faith, even if, you know, they do have dancing and some music that Westerners would find odd at Mass. So go check out our interview with Father Leo. Okay. Last up, since I am the director, the new director of catechesis here at St. Dominic's Media, again, we're going to be rolling out some new courses on our website, and we're going to have a lecture series, and there's going to be maybe some homework involved in that. I don't know how it's exactly going to roll out. That's what I'm going to be in charge of. Bobby Hesley is going to be in charge of apologetics. But speaking of apologetics, let me kind of combine that with the catechesis here and just offer sort of a catechetical moment to close out our show. And so I was thinking, okay, what can I offer, you know, a bit of random theological, catechetical explanation for the end of each show? And we're going to do this at the end of each show. So I settled on a great short snippet booklet for catechesis and apologetics. It's by our friend Jimmy Akin of Catholic Answers fame. Many of you know him. And he wrote a book several years ago called A Daily Defense. So if you remember those old rip-off calendars, like post-it note type calendars that you keep in your kitchen or whatever, he wanted to make an apologetics version of that. And each day had a little snippet of catechesis in there. So I want to go through whatever it is, 365 day plus one of catechesis. We'll do this for every show. We'll talk about this. Okay, so our first subject matter. What about people who say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious? I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. Isn't that enough? And what I say to these people is that you're being too vague. You want to be seen as someone who is thinking more broadly about what's going on in the world. You don't want to say there is no God. You don't want to say there is no afterlife. You don't want to say there's nothing going on behind the scenes. So you at least get that much, but you don't go far enough because you're afraid. You're afraid to commit to something. So you settle on this vague spirituality. Oh, I think there's something out there. I think there's something after I die. And you don't want to intellectually nail yourself down to one thing. You don't want to think about the issue more deeply. That is really the crux of the issue here. You don't want to investigate the different arguments for and against a particular faith. Because if you do, logic dictates that you will settle on the one true faith, which is the Holy Catholic Church. It is the most reasonable faith. It is the most logical faith. Why? Because God put that desire for truth and logic and reason in us. And so when we see the religion, which corresponds to all of that, because it is the religion of the one true God, the Catholic Church, then you will have a decision to make. You will either have to commit to that and say, okay, this makes the most sense out of all the data, out of all the experience that I have in the world. And so I have to become Catholic. And that's what many people have done. But for the people who want to sort of dip their toe outside of secularism and outside of atheism and say, oh yeah, I think there's something out there. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. I often say to these people, well, do you worship demons? Because that's spiritual. There's a lot of immoral things that connect to spirituality? Are you all about that? Like, what do you exactly mean that you're spiritual but not religious? You just think that all paths lead to God? And so that's the first thing, the first topic, day one, that Akin sort of covers here. So when people say that they are spiritual rather than religious, they frequently mean that, you know, they don't practice a specific religion. They recognize, however, there is more to the world than matter, that it has a spiritual direction. So I guess in a certain sense, it is good. They've taken a step outside of materialism and atheism. But God created us for more. He gave us the rational faculty. Faculty is sort of a power of a soul. You know, we have certain faculties or powers. We have free will as human beings. We have the intellect. So God wants us to understand. God does not want us to remain in the dark. He wants to not be hidden from us. Although in a certain sense, I can't see God, I can't touch God, whatever, I can't hear God. You can reason your way to the existence of God, and you can reason your way into the Catholic Church as the one true religion founded by God if you just think about it. Now, this might take years, and it might take a lot of conversations with a lot of knowledgeable and holy people. I'm not saying this happens overnight, but you can do it. You can do it. You can reason your way into the Catholic Church. But that's not the only avenue. There has to be not only a head conversion, but a heart conversion as well. So there's two things going on here. I mean, the Catholic Church, the faith, is not just an intellectual exercise. So from a Christian perspective, we can learn more. God loves us and wants us to know him, not just have feelings or guesses. So God gave us a specific path. He left evidence for us to figure out that he does exist and that the Holy Catholic Church is the means by which we get to God, following all the commandments and precepts of the church and living the life of the sacraments. Those are the means. That's the ladder, so to speak, by which we climb to get to heaven by the assistance of the saints and the sacraments and the grace of God and the assistance of the Holy Spirit. But he also leaves evidence in the human heart. Man has an openness to truth and beauty. He has a sense of moral goodness, right and wrong. He has a conscience, and he also has the longing for infinite happiness, and he wants to be happy. I mean, Aristotle pointed this out way back in the day, that man's ultimate goal is to be happy. Now, we have to define what that happiness is, but if we go with St. Augustine's definitions, of what happiness is and what it means to live a full human life of satisfaction, St. Augustine has a famous phrase. He says of God, "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee." And this is what I think is one of the most convincing ways to get someone into the church and into a relationship with Jesus, is through not just the intellectual arguments, but the fact that this will make you ultimately happy and ultimately satisfied. Now, even an acceptance of the faith and a relationship with Jesus on earth, you're not going to be totally satisfied on earth because this is not your home. You have an ultimate destiny. You'll be totally satisfied when you reach beatitude, the internal embrace of God in heaven. That's what that is. That's what Augustine is ultimately talking about. But that can start here and now. You can start living as a citizen of the kingdom of God, even if you're not in the kingdom of God just yet. So our hearts are restless until they rest in God, or at least start a relationship with him. You'll never be satisfied with the things of this world. You'll never be satisfied with enough money, power, pleasure, whatever it is. All of those things will ultimately leave you wanting more. But if you want to start on this road of satisfaction and joy and happiness, starts on the road that walks with Christ, because that's really the only way to do that. Okay. Well, I hope you enjoyed this first episode of Even Keel. I will be coming to you, God willing, once a week with a balanced, level-headed perspective that will hopefully keep you on the bark of Peter amid all the storms and rising tides of the culture and even the church. God bless you. We'll see you next time.